light of some events that happened this past week, I was thinking about this, and I want to just do a little bit of a brief, the last 40 years, 50 years of American politics. I was born in 69, and I wasn't there for Richard Nixon and Watergate and the whole, I mean, that must have been a big thing. 72, right? Was it 72, right? It was the Watergate scandal, is that right?
I don't know, I wasn't born yet.
Yeah, we were born. I was born in 69, so.
You were there, you just were too young.
Yeah, but I mean, from what I understand, from what I've read, is that there was pretty much the Republican Party and then kind of an industrial war machine with the Vietnam War and all of that coming still out of the World War II and then the Korean War and so on. And the corruption that was obviously within the Nixon administration and the Republican Party at that time. So what happened? This is what I want us to see, is that Gerald Ford took over for the last 2 years, is that right? When Nixon's resigned.
I think so.
And then the pendulum, but America did it. For me, this is my right. Rights can be Republican, not Democrat. The pendulum way back this way, right? To Jimmy Carter. And I'm asking you, because I have my own thoughts, when you think of Jimmy Carter, what do you think of? Because this is how these presidents are going to be remembered, and he is near his deathbed, by the way. And so...
I think he's a nice guy, but I don't think he was the best president that we ever had.
Right. I think that means...
What?
Peanuts?
Peanuts?
When I was a child, I remember
Billy Beer.
I was like a 13-year-old, so.
His brother had Billy Beer.
Yeah, yep. Remember that. Well, he obviously was at the tail end of his presidency, was the Iran.
Yeah, the hostage
thing. Yeah, hostage situation.
And the oil.
His progressive policies, which were really radical, and the economy just tanked under him. And he is generally regarded to be, with, if not being, one of the top three worst presidents from the readings. And again, I was so young. And you rate presidents. And so what happened? Well, we'd had enough. I can remember, you know, geez, by the time 1980, waiting in a car to get gas, and the prices were just... You know, it'd be like $10-$15 a gallon a day. Anyways, that being said, so what happened? Well, we went back the other way to Ronald Reagan. And what is Ronald Reagan known for? Reaganomics?
Yeah.
And he defeated Russia. How did he defeat Russia, the former Soviet Union?
Economically.
He just outspent them and bankrupted them, okay? Now, there's the funny things about him and the jelly beans and so on, but his principles of governing are still even talked about today and repeated today. So he went from the worst to he is probably now considered to be one of the top five presidents of all time. And we, America, grew economically. And his Reaganomics and everything, again, it was the economy that took him there. It made sense then that things were going so well that his vice president would be the next president. And of course, America wanted to stay the course for the most part, but it was still dependent upon the economy. And George, is it H?
H.W.
Bush was known for what in his presidency? Pretty much one thing.
1,000 points
of light. Or what?
Kuwait.
Yeah, the Gulf War. And he had this surge in popularity, but what happened?
Sorry, I remember him for giving up our extra votes
But he only lasted one term. Why?
He raised taxes.
But the economy just fell underneath him after the war.
So the economy's stupid.
Yes. Yes. Right.
No more taxes.
Right. And so, and he was a one-termer, and I remember being old enough then that the great parody of him on Saturday Night Live by David Carvey, and so on. And so you have that side of it, okay? And so, all right, let's go back We've had 12 years of Republican control. It says go to the Democratic Party. And Bill Clinton. And he was there for 8 years. He's only in the office for 8 years for one reason and one reason only. It's what James Carville said. It's the economy, stupid. Because do you remember what Bill Clinton ran on in his first campaign? Healthcare. And they didn't do anything with that. But what, when you think of Bill Clinton, or you in his presidency, what's the one thing you think of?
Monica
Lewinsky. He didn't do anything. He was a very good speaker, was popular enough, and the economy was good enough that he stayed in office. Okay? And his foreign policy ended up being, it's hailing or snowing right now, oh my gosh. Sorry, I just don't think of this.
It's April, come on.
Yeah. Anyways, the only thing that, that we would, that if you didn't know it or not, he had an opportunity to take out Osama bin Laden, and he didn't. And his idea of a military aggression was sending a missile, which ended up being fatal to the United States. Well, things just kind of stalled with that, and let's go back to the Republican Party again, and let's move back to the good old boys and George W. Bush. And if God had him in there for one reason, really more to know him, it was because of 9/11, and he had the network of friends that could protect America and build America. But what is George W. Bush known for? If you had two terms, what's he primarily known for? 9/11, the Afghan war, and taking out the Taliban. Yeah, they never found those weapons of mass destruction, did they? Did not find that at all. Okay. But the economy was good enough, his Bush tax cuts, and he America had 8 years of that, and then what happened after that? We went radically another differential. So you're seeing America do this, this is my point here, right?
And it always does.
And you have Barack Obama. Now at that time, Bill Clinton and George Bush, before Barack Obama, were moderates. They were not what you see today or what they are today. Now, what is Barack Obama known for? I think he was one of the better speakers, very likable.
Yeah, health care.
Affordable Health Care Act, right? Yeah. And also being the first black president. But what we don't see, what he said, and what we are now living through, is absolutely disastrous. And that is the fact that he said he would fundamentally change America. And he began to push, although it was, he did it very, very, he was very smart. He's not as blatant as the current administration, which is with Obama 2.0, in that he began to implement diversity, equity, inclusion. Okay? There was already transsexuals and others that were serving, it just was never really, because you couldn't then, but he was pushing for that. I would say the other thing that happened with him is that he inherited a good economy and made it worse. And race relations, which we thought would get better, deteriorated, which was shocking, disappointing. I didn't know that until I had heard it, black conservatives complain about that.
And he ripped away the checks and balances on the media.
He became, though, another thing is he became the darling of the media, and that, you know, they'd always been more towards the liberal side. But that being said, things weren't going well. He did not put America first. And we didn't like that. So we're going to try something different. And another massive swing in 2016. All the way over to the very first businessman to become a president in Donald Trump. Now, what is Donald Trump's presidency known for? Probably, well, three things, in my opinion. Number one was he actually built a wall. Okay, he actually was the only president to address, at this point in history, the border problem, which is now a crisis. What's the second thing that he's known for? The economy got better. What else?
COVID,
Operation Warp Speed, and all of that. But he's also primarily known for, and I should add this as a fourth point, very, very volatile. Okay? And so, I mean, love his policies, the tweets and stuff like that, it made me cringe.
Yeah, yes.
Okay? And I guess the fifth thing he'd be known for, so many things, he exposed the fake news.
Yes.
CNN is dying right before our eyes. Are you guys aware of that? If you've been watching the ratings, they are historically bad. They are under 500,000 viewers now. To put it in perspective, Fox is up to 1.5 to 2 million. So they're at the bottom of the tunnel. When I was growing up in the Gulf War, the standard was CNN. Remember that? And so there you have Donald Trump, and he probably would be president still if there wasn't COVID, because the economy was roaring and everything. That being said, we want to go back. We don't want this. We want the guy who's going to be the moderate, who's going to restore, you know, decency and so on, and end up being a big lie in Joe Biden. And right at this point in time in the Biden administration, what is his administration known for? I mean, historically, when you think of Joe Biden, what are you going to think of?
All I think of is that he defeated Trump.
Yeah.
He became this vanilla.
Yeah.
Like, there's, like, do you hear about it?
Yeah.
It's like he's
never done anything as a politician that's historically known. Right now, I would say the failed retreat of Afghanistan is what you keep history. Well, he'll be judged on that. The other thing that he is known for is he is now blatantly, openly pushing for the DEI. And he has hired based upon that, and it's open now. Now that leads into our Bible study, the diversity, equity, and inclusion. It leads into what happened this past week with the shooting at Nashville in that church, okay?
It's a
Christian school. What did his administration do? There's two things, if you didn't know, there's two things that they, one thing they did and one thing they didn't do. What they didn't do is they have never mentioned the word Christian. They have not acknowledged those six people that died. Were you aware of that? If not, what did they do? Who did they acknowledge? And then the very next day, March 31st, was what? Declared by this administration, what?
Day of visibility.
Transgender Day of Visibility. Were you aware of that?
No.
Yes.
They are pushing that agenda in schools. Oh.
Yeah. We've been through this, like, yeah. But they wouldn't even acknowledge the tragedy at the school. They mourned. I was watching the press, they were mourning and wanted to draw attention to the death of the transgender student. Were you guys aware of that? I figured you weren't. And because it ties exactly into what we've been studying here. And what have I been saying to you for the past 3 years? What is coming for us?
Persecution.
Barack Obama would have acknowledged those students, or those students in those families, okay? All the other past presidents would have acknowledged this president is not, this administration is not. This is not me being political here. I'm just stating the facts of what is out there as I am watching this, and I am literally shocked and sad, and I'm sad at the death of all seven of them, including the transgender person. Apparently she was being counseled by the pastor of that church.
They said that wasn't true then.
That wasn't true then? Yeah. Okay. But that being said, is that we're seeing there was a trans day of vengeance that was planned, that was canceled because of what happened with this lady did with those, burning those six people.
Well, they said it wasn't safe for them to hold it.
Right. But this government, this current government, is not even acknowledging the existence of Christians. What else can you do but to kill three innocent but nine-year-old and under children, and it doesn't elicit a response from the current administration in the White House. It is a different time that we are living in, which is why, and I'll share this with you. As you know, this church has been broken into. There's been a massive increase this year, and Roger knows about it, in it, just breaking into this church. There was graffiti that was written on the wall over there, and it had washed off. This is this year alone, so we're just now in the fourth month. They're dumping trash, you know, costing us money. I thought, okay, well, this is maybe just us. Well, no, Faith and Victory Church a few months ago had someone just walk up to their building and they have it on camera, take a brick and just throw it through the window. I did get a call from two different churches that want to rent this building, and I knew that there was another church that wanted to upgrade the size and rent this building last year, so I called the pastor and said, I know you thought another building is your old building for sale, a couple that might want to buy it for their church. And we end up talking. His church up in Lake Taft, Pentecostal Church, they've had a truck come in and trying to break down their gate, ram into their gate. They've had their church broken into. The gym was broken into. It was that night at 1:45 in the morning. Then they decided it wasn't good enough, and this person or people went into broke into the actual sanctuary offices. That was alarmed, and that went off. And that was one of many instances at that church in Lake Taps up there. This is not Tacoma. Okay? There was, Tracy Harris told me about the homeschool cooperative that she's with at the church in downtown Tacoma, not in the best place, but they're there at this church doing a homeschool. And on video, they have these two cars pulling up, masks on, kids get out, break the windows of about three or four cars, have these universal keys, want to see if they'll start. They don't. They clean out the cars, and they leave. They have the video, they call the Tacoma Police Department. And I'm not lying, so she told me, the Tacoma Police Department laughed at them. Says, we are so defunded, so under-resourced, there's no way we're coming out there for that. This is not a murder or anything, you're on your own. So they are now forced to, there are mothers that are patrolling the parking lot with mace, with walkie-talkies, and some of them with carry licenses. This is a new, I can only keep saying it over and over again, and the reason why we've been saying 1 Peter, there's persecution coming. There's persecution coming. The police are telling me, you know, we went and took a gun safety class yesterday, the four of us, and the instructors were very clear, and everyone is in there for the very same reason. We're all in there. There's an increase in lawlessness, and that there is no, the police are hampered. Roger told me that when the police officer got here, and he said, unless this homeless person took something, we can't do anything with them. It's trespassing, that's it. If they even took a fork, we could get them a burglary and get something and get them behind bars. But that was the first thing out of their mouths.
So the vandalism doesn't count?
No. Nope.
These can't even chase them. They run away from them, they have to let them.
So, all of these events, nationally, locally, you get a sense of, yeah, it's very appropriate. And I think that if the church really cares about its congregations, they need to start to talk about, you need to learn how to suffer. They need to learn how to suffer and suffer well. And so, maybe our class is going to impress you. I'm going to put this on them now.
I hear a test coming.
They're going to tell you what they've learned in this class so far. I've taken them verse by verse through most of 1 Peter, not quite all of it. And look at how they go for their notes. The person with the excellent mind, Carol, going to her notes.
I know.
The one who answers all the questions.
She always gets
it. What have you learned in this class? Notice the great impact my teaching has on them. Look at them, they're just jumping to shout out all that they've learned.
We're called to be a blessing. When we're insulted, we are to set an example. That is how we draw people to Christ, is how they see us going through suffering.
Okay.
That's how we glorify God.
One of the ways we glorify God, yes.
That the suffering we go through now is nothing compared to what the suffering that the people in First Peter.
Okay.
Although that could be.
Talk that way, because they can't hear you.
That could be in the future, but the suffering that we're going through now here is really nothing compared to what the people in First Peter are going through. You know what I mean?
Yeah, we're going through irritations.
Yeah, we really don't suffer. Yeah, I mean, at this point in. Emotionally, spiritually, but not physically, I guess.
Right. Rodney?
It's developed a great, healthy fear for the church in this nation when the persecution comes, because how many people really have the fortitude and that faith to actually withstand that kind of persecution that is going to come? So that's really what's growing in me.
Because the part of the problem is when we suffer, we tend to pray so that God will take it away instead of trusting God through it to strengthen us to be, as Debbie pointed out, a blessing to those who persecute us. It's not really the way we think, especially in America. I remember hearing that people in China were praying for America, and they were praying for suffering to come so that we could learn how to suffer, because we don't know what it's like.
Marie.
The leadership, we need to respect it, but we need to respect it as long as they're not going against God, but we also need to respect it in our surroundings, like with our friends and with our coworkers, and which means that we don't just, like, you don't just do what is legal, but you also don't slander the person that is making the policies. You know, you don't talk bad about them. You don't,
That's not suffering well.
Yeah, that is not suffering well. To suffer well, you are going to follow the leadership and know that God put all these people in places for a reason. And that's always, it's easy to remember. No.
Frank? Anybody else? I was hoping somebody would share this. The things I kept going over and over and over again, which was how do you suffer well? No one mentioned that. And he explains it to us here. Remember that? When you suffer, what are you to focus on?
Jesus.
Okay, you have an inheritance. That's one of the things you mentioned, okay? Your attitude as you go through it. Debbie mentioned it. When you are tested, when you are suffering, what is to be your attitude?
Well,
What? Humility.
Patience.
Yeah, spiritual mindset, not the carnal mindset. You think, you know, what's above?
You need to consider yourself, above. Think yourself as being blessed.
Yeah.
Okay? You're blessed. I want you to think biblically. You are blessed. Remember the Beatitudes. Blessed are those who what? Are you when you are persecuted. Okay, so you're blessed. Now, why would you think that you're blessed to be persecuted?
Because it gives you the opportunity to prove your faith.
There we go. You have the opportunity to prove your faith. If you are persecuted, if you are suffering, it is confirmation that you are a believer. You are the line of the prophets because they did to the prophets what they're doing to you. And that is an encouragement. Now, our response to what the people in 1 Peter that he was addressing is, our response is their response. What's this strange thing happening to me? Why, Lord, is this happening to me? What did I do wrong? What's wrong with those statements? They're all focused on self, aren't they? You got to get off yourself. You got to start to think biblically. Remember when Chase was being persecuted and I got in his face and said, listen, no, you're blessed. You have to start to think this way. It's an opportunity for you to prove your faith, and then in that regard, you are what? Adding to your rewards, your inheritance. You are proving. And in the way you go through that suffering. And in that going through that suffering, especially if you do it publicly, if others are seeing you suffer well, what happens? Two things. You have an opportunity to share the hope that you have, and then what ultimately ends up happening? God is glorified. I don't know how much longer, but we're nearing the end of 1 Peter. I can only say this to you guys. You have got to memorize that. You've got to change the way you think. That would be the first thing I would mention of what I learned from this study of 1 Peter is that, because it's something very practical. You are going to suffer. I'm not talking about me driving behind Roberta and Roberta's super slow and road rage and all that.
I pump the brakes.
Yeah, she pumps the brakes and stuff like that. Little things that irritate us, okay, you know, we said, that's not really suffering. Arguing with your spouse, that's not suffering. Okay? You know, it's one thing to, to even have somebody speak evil of you or slander you to get a promotion above you. That's a different level of suffering, right? It's one thing to be betrayed by a friend. It's a whole other thing when you have your child taken away from you. And then that family and that church getting absolutely no empathy from the White House. See that the world just doesn't really care. They're more concerned about the killer than the victims. How hard that must be for that church and that family, right? And what would they have to do during that time of suffering? And this would be very, very hard. But this is why God gives you His Spirit so you can endure it and get through it and overcome it. What would they be tempted? How would they be tempted to sin? What?
Talk about
it.
Say
it.
Get
offended. And slander.
Instead,
they need
to.
And they need to, you know, die to that.
I have a question that kind of ties with this. This is okay. Because it brings up a very significant point because it's in our face. The whole transgender, the LGBTQ.
Yeah.
My response has always been, judge it. I love the person and pray for them. I will have no judgment on them because that's God. Because that's what people think Christians are doing. Oh, you just hate us, you just judge, you just this and
right.
that. But I'm like, it's not mine to judge. But we are having it shut down our throats. I mean, they go through a whole training to be a substitute teacher.
Yeah.
just condemn outright unless they're asked, what's your, I think it's...
Right. I would answer that what's happening is it's so radical, the transgender movement, that it was even talked about the last night or a few nights ago by you know who Winsome Sears is, Lieutenant Governor of Virginia, a black Jamaican woman, Marine, Christian. And then there's a conservative, I think he's conservative, but a gay man. And Bill Maher and him talked about how, and they both agreed that there's alliance between the lesbians and the gays and bis and the trans, it's not going to last. Because there are plenty of, there's a group called the Conservative Gays, Gays Against Groomers. They have been in every state that has banned transgender surgeries, and they testified against that. And the reason why, one of the reasons why they're testifying is that who is the transgender community with all these transition surgeries targeting? Well, they're not targeting straight kids. The kids that are the tomboy and the feminine, feminine boy. The studies have shown, and this is over 20 years of studies, that 8 or 9 out of 10 of those people, they're 9 out of 10, they grow out of their insecurities. He says, just leave them alone, they'll be fine. 8 out of 10 or 7 out of 10 of those will either, they go to gay or lesbian. Because they're tomboys, they tend to be lesbian. That's just what the data shows. Who are the transgender community targeting? It's not straight kids. It's the lesbians and the gays. And so we don't think they are saying, this is, I've seen it, liberals are seeing it in this radical, violent transgender movement. You can't be violent like that and maintain. Society will reject you. That's just the way it is. This alliance will probably be broken, and it's already starting to happen. So what is our response to all of that stuff that's being shoved down our throats? We can say, you live your life, I'm going to live my life, which is what we've been trying to say. They've kept coming. So now what's happening is, and this is what the conservatives are doing, is that we should, in my opinion, support the states and the laws and the policies that are pushing back against that, and things like banning these surgeries. You watch my sermon on it. This is where the Bible says, this is where we stand. You take a stand. Will I guard the church against a transgender person? Absolutely. If I know someone's trans or struggling with that, they're welcome here, but I'm going to watch them because of that violent nature that is associated with this movement right now. And that's my job as a shepherd. My other job is primarily to see, okay, is this person, is God at work in this person's life that we can help them? Because think of the transgender really as a eunuch. Because that's how the Bible, they were always transgender people, it's just a different name. Remember Jesus said about the eunuch? There's an Ethiopian eunuch. There are some that are born that way, right? Some that are made that way, and some that make themselves that way. That is the same thing today, okay? And so, for me, I would have to be called to be a substitute teacher because I couldn't do the thing. I couldn't teach because I'd want control in the class, and I can't have that. You can't do anything like that. And, I know of some conservative gays that are teachers that are appalled at what's going on, and they have to keep their mouths shut or they'll lose their job. So what are we to do? Pray for them. We can reach out in love to them. But because it's so radical, you're going to have to take a stand. And it's going to be a firm stand. In my opinion, to the point where even in this church now, anybody that has a concealed carry license, I'm going to ask you to bring it to church.
The license or the gun?
Both.
With what happened at that school, someone could watch one of my sermons when I speak out against it. And again, when I spoke on the gay thing, how, back in 2020 and a few years or a year ago, there was nothing. Someone coming out of it that didn't like it. When the transgender thing, there was an immediate response that Frank showed me, which was, it was flagged because I used that word, and there was an immediate response to the website, to the sermon. It was being followed by somebody in some sort of system, software. And so, yeah, it's you're being watched in that regard. And so the people that are confused with this gender dysphoria, that are taking these medications, it's a mental illness, which is why this little girl did what she did. And so I remember when back in 2006, 2007, there was an attack on a church. I can't remember what it was. When the senior pastor at the time was in an elders meeting with him and the other elders, and he's a military guy, and he had this elaborate plan of buying these police shields and training the deacons to protect the church and this and that and whatnot, and it was just so elaborate and out there. And he even admitted that the police chief at the Curtin Doha didn't recommend this, but he was just content on that, and he presented it to the elders, and no one said anything. It was that ludicrous and ridiculous. And I totally do agree. That was just way out there. This is a different time now, 15 years later. And it's okay to be at war with Christians, to go to war against Christians, which is really what this White House said, by not addressing, acknowledging what happened to those. And the upkeep, or the lawlessness that's coming at churches, I keep hearing it over and over and over again. I didn't seek it out. I mentioned this happened here, then all these other pastors start sharing stuff. And it's continually happening. There is, you know, it's an anti-Christian world we live in, and they've marginalized us, and if we take a stand, they can't tolerate that. And they will come after you.
You know, the Bible tells us to be wise as serpents.
Yeah.
So I think, my opinion is, we need to educate ourselves. And if it's not your thing, then just minimally educate yourself. But I don't think it's enough to just say, I'm a Christian, homosexuality is wrong, transgender wrong, I'm against it, done. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Because we're not giving an educated, persuasive, the Bible says study to show yourself approved, right? Have a reason. It's not really my thing. I don't really care. I mean, I care about other things in my passion. I'm like, let them, whatever. They're going to self-implode if you look through history.
Right.
They're going to fall apart. They're going to turn on each other, you know. But as a believer, we are called, and this is our culture. So I'm like, okay, I do have to educate myself. And so that if there's someone that is seeking Christ, I can be able to present. And one thing on my research is, like you said, the gay community is against transgender. And what they're saying is that Big Pharma, we all have our conspiracy theories about Big Pharma, right? But they said Big Pharma is the one targeting and pushing transgender. So if I come in contact with someone and they're giving me a hard time about, you're a Christian, or you're transgender, what I would say is, you need to educate yourself, because even the gay community is against the transgender movement because it's pushed by Big Pharma. Everybody that tries to transition will be on drugs the rest of their lives. Each person that averages $1.3 million in medical expenses,
right,
that Big Pharma is getting per transgender person. It's a huge business.
We're going to end up paying for it. Oh, good. We've got a
right.
Service.
Right.
Plus, we don't even know the long-term results.
We don't know the long-term results, because there's only been one study, and that's in Sweden. And they did it over a 30-year period, that the people that transition, only 2% say they're happier. The rest are more suicidal than they began. So a lot of parents of teenagers, they say, I have to let my kid do this or they're going to be suicidal. But literally the doctors will say, do you want a dead teenager, or do you want a transition teenager? That's how they pressure the parents.
And Europe did it, and it wasn't just Sweden. She's right, I forgot about that because I remember watching it. Europe, United Kingdom, Sweden, Denmark, I think, they're ahead of us in this whole LGBT thing, and they're experimenting and all that. and they're pulling away from it because they've seen the effects of it. Mm-hmm. And so they think that we're just way too radical over here with it. It is beginning to splinter from what I can see. What I'm concerned about is, it was just blatant. I was shocked that I thought for sure he would at least acknowledge the death of these six people, and this current government is not.
He didn't even say we're starting.
No, they have not used the word Christian. News organizations would not ban, CBS banned their broadcasters from using the word transgender because it doesn't fit their narrative. Did you notice that in the liberal media? They won't. You know, they are deadnaming her, misgendering her because she identifies as a he, but they wouldn't use the word transgender because it's, they're riding that wave and they have not mentioned the word Christian. So this is the world that we live in. And you better be prepared to suffer and you better know how to suffer. And this is an opportunity for us to, if it happens, to suffer well. And I guarantee you, when you suffer, if you don't, the first thing you're going to do is you're going to complain. You're going to, well, why is this happening to me? Okay? And it's going to be all focused on self. And you will have no excuse when you stand before the Lord, because they're going to pull this up and say, Chris taught you this. He hammered it in you over and over again. What were you doing? I've been through suffering in the church. I've learned this stuff. You can become better through it. And that's the goal. Let the pain soften you, not harden you. Okay? And when you learn to suffer, then you'll be able to help others. But it's not something that we talk about. It's not. I believe it's coming. And this was just a massive example of that this week with what happened. I was just shocked. I could not believe the response of this current government.
This year, I lived with my son and his wife, and they were both Christians.
Yeah.
And they, in a sense, turned their back. But I live with them now, and so what they were told me. And this is like, this, I think this is a suffering that we have to recognize. They have said, you may not talk about God to our kids, here in the end. And their stance on it, that it's magical thinking, pretend to fairy tale, that it's true, but it's not. So what they're teaching just grandsons of chaos is that Brandy's, you know, she's just nuts. You know, this is just crazy. It's crazy. That it's just, you know. That's a hard thing to stand up and say, okay, you know, because isn't that a suffering that is unnamed? But that to me is, they are 40s, in their 30s. They are the generation that is listening to this agenda. They are the generation of parents letting their 9-year-old, you know what I mean? But they're the ones that are pushing it to the kids instead of leaving the kids alone.
And Peter addresses that, and we have to end here. He addresses it by saying that, you know, if you should suffer what? Wrongly. How are you to do that? You live your life with a clean or clear conscience. You love through it all. And so my advice to you would be, you know, you want to honor your grandchild, their son. You're the authority over them, okay? But you just live your life, your godly life, in front of them, and let your behavior, you know, speak for itself, okay? And then pray for them. And then when you sense God moving, then you step in. And if he's at work, then all of a sudden, so be it. And it will take some sort of pain or suffering for your husband or your son or your daughter.
Son.
Yeah. Don't have to be broken. You know. But you're there to be a light. And he's watching.
My grandson, my oldest, wants to know. He's talked to me.
Yeah.
And I'm honoring my son.
it's the fact that you can't change their hearts. You know, if they're that far gone, what would Jesus do? And this is not going to sound very comforting to you. What would Jesus do to that people that just have flat out rejected him? He does not cast his pearls to swine. I've got to be about my Father's work. Where is he working? And if he's not at work here, then I'm going to go wherever he's working. And so this is what you do, as hard as that may be. And it isn't easy. But it is an opportunity for you to live this life out, to prove the genuineness of your faith. Because, again, children watch and see everything. And that is a greater testimony than any words can be that can be spoken.
And ultimately, God is the one that calls us.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. The Holy Spirit is the one that draws us. The Holy Spirit is the one that gives us faith to even believe. So he calls us to walk out our faith for him. And he allows us to witness to others. But ultimately, them coming to Jesus is up to him.
Right.
It's his
word.
Talk about the triumphal entry in the Easter, and then we'll get back into Genesis. But one thing I do want to prepare you when we get back into them coming out of the flood, out of the ark, just so you know, because it was shocking when I read it, but they walked out into a world of death. There would have been an overwhelming sense of the divine judgment of God that those eight people, because there would have been bodies and bones everywhere. So not what you think in the little children with the giraffe and the sun and the walking up or smiling and everything and so on. That was not. There was an overwhelming sense of the judgment of God. And that still did not restrain the sin of humanity. Because in chapter 11, where are we again? Tower of Babel. Father, thank you for this time. Thank you for the conversation. Please build us up as we worship you and as we celebrate Palm Sunday. In Jesus' name, amen. Sorry, Dave, I thought we'd end earlier, but you got about 6 minutes, 7 minutes. Set tables up.